Well, this morning is actually a culmination of a dream that I've had ever since that I came to Bob Jones University 3 years ago. 3 years prior to my coming here, I served as the director for a ministry called Cross Impact. Cross Impact was a ministry reaching secular campuses through local churches. One of the best campus ministries that Cross Impact was involved with was the ministry at Winthrop College here in South Carolina through the Harvest Baptist Church. And this morning, it is our privilege and honor to have Pastor Marshall Fant come and speak this morning. He has been the associate pastor there at Harvest for 6 years. He is assuming the role as the lead pastor this August. He is in charge of their Cross Impact Ministry reaching Winthrop College. And Marshall is a graduate of Bob Jones University. He surrendered to preach his freshman year at Clemson University. He came here, graduated in 2007. He completed his master's degree here in 2009, and he finished a Master of Divinity from Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania in 2014. His wife Jenna is a graduate. They have 3 children that are here today, and they are sitting with Auntie Abigail, who is a senior here at the university. And I'm so glad that Marshall can come and really challenge our hearts. And the reason it was a dream for me is I believe that maybe some of the greatest potential secular college campus workers in the world, potentially for the future, are actually sitting in this room. I am convinced that many of you God could greatly use reaching a secular campus through a local church somewhere either in the United States or somewhere in the world. The potential is incredible, and so I hope you'll open your heart this morning as Marshall comes and speaks.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm 19. Thank you, Dr. Pettit, for this opportunity. As he said, I graduated in 07 with my undergraduate degree, and we called it the coolest class ever. We were the class of 007, and I can't believe we didn't do anything with that. We didn't have any t-shirts or anything cool about that. That was really fun, but we did have a great time, and I really appreciated all of my professors who put up with us and poured their lives into us. I think of one of my favorite professors was Dr. Sylvester, who's an English professor here, and she taught a Bible as literature class, which was one of my all-time favorites, and she didn't even count off when I misspelled her name on the title page of one of my papers, which she probably doesn't remember, but that happened. The other thing is that the very first time I got to stand here, I got to come as a young guy, I think it was a senior, and pray for the chapel, and it was the first time here. It was very intimidating. I stood up here, and my voice cracked. Now, that's embarrassing. In fact, that was the first day I ever got a text message from anybody. That's how long ago this was. And my friend was like, ha ha, that was hilarious. So that's for support, right? It's a great privilege for me to be here today speaking to you. I am thrilled to be able to open the Word of God and talk with you and also tell you some stories about college ministry. I want to start by dispelling a couple myths. These two myths are you can't and they won't. If you feel like you don't have the temperament for college ministry or the skills to speak with college students, I hope today I can convince you otherwise. Because the amazing thing about college ministry is just like any other ministry, that the power to change lives and make an impact comes through the Word of God. If you faithfully will expose people to God's Word, it will change their lives. The power will not be in your personality. It won't be in your program. It will be in God's Word, and that is a powerful thing. Don't buy into this idea that, well, I can't do this, and I don't think they will. By God's power, you can, and by the Spirit of God, they will. Now, I know you don't really wish this, but I wish I could stay up here and tell you story after story after story for all afternoon about how God has used Cross Impact and how God has challenged me working with college students. But I want to begin by looking at the Word of God and talking about how God has great power in His Word to change lives. We know this is true from Romans 12:2. Most of you have this memorized. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may also know this, that verb is what's called a present passive imperative, the idea of being transformed, that it's a command, but it's something that happens to you, and you must be doing this continually. And how does this happen? It happens through the Word of God. Look at Psalm 19 with me. It's starting in verse 7. We're going to skip through the first part down to verse 7. We're going to see these descriptions of the law of the Lord, the Word of God. It says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." God's word is perfect. It is blameless. It's without flaw. It's complete. It's intact. You don't need anything else other than what you have. And because God's word is without flaw, it's perfect, it alone can turn or convert the soul. Souls need to be converted, and people need to be turned to Jesus. Does that resonate with you? Like in your heart, do you feel, yes, people need to turn to Christ? Do you start with the word of God? You're not going to argue somebody into the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to convince them into salvation. You're not going to trick them into getting saved. God's word is the power by which people are saved. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." People need converting. Also, look at the next part. It says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." God's word is sure. It is truth. Because it's sure and because it's true, it makes those of us who are simple fools to be wise. It corrects the wrong thinking of foolish people. Proverbs outlines at least three different kinds of fools. And the simplest one, the most basic one, is the simple fool, the kind of person who just doesn't know any better. And really, we all were there. Many of us, many of you are there right now. As a young person, you just do silly things that are foolish. I mean, you're basically, a lot of you are just out of high school. You're on your own for the first time. And you'll be able to make foolish decisions for a long time, trust me. And you'll be able to get away with it for a while. But at some point, people say, you need to grow up. I remember making many foolish decisions and living with a lot of fools here at Bob Jones. It was a lot of fun. Some of the fools in my hall decided to take all of the phone books from all around campus, and they store them in my bed one night. So as I came up from working the broke desk at 2 a.m., I found a stack of books in my bed, and we had to take them all out. We had, I have lots of stories. We're not going to get into all of them. But the idea is that people are foolish, and what does God's word do for the simple fool? It helps those simple fools be wise. Where do you turn if you want to learn how to do something? I know where I go. I go to YouTube. It's like I YouTube everything. How do I fix my dishwasher? I'll go to YouTube and look and find my dishwasher. How do I put together this IKEA furniture? I can't read the instructions because there are no words. I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to just like try to figure this out. How do you do? The internet has turned into the place for how do you do stuff. And that's fine. But when it comes to life, are you more likely to Google a question or search the scriptures? And that's a serious question. Because God's word makes the wise, or makes the simple to be wise. The statutes of the Lord, verse 8, are right. They rejoice the heart. God's word is straight. It's right. It's correct. In Micah 3:9, it describes how people twist everything that is straight. The same word. And because God's word is straight, it's right. It brings joy. It brings happiness to our heart. Let me tell you something. That when people in this world who are so used to things that are twisted, things that are distorted, things that are messed up, when they see the truth of God's word, it will make them excited. It will make them happy. I was just in my office just this last week with a young man who came to me, and he's having lots of troubles, and we were having a counseling session. He sat there, and I showed him from the scripture that, look, the Bible says that because God gave you salvation as a gift, no one else can take that away from you. And he literally sat back in his chair and said, wow. Whoa. And he had to sit there for a moment and just take in the truth of God's word. And he was so excited about the truth of God's word. God's word is right and it rejoices the heart. The commandments of the Lord, it says next, are pure and they enlighten the eyes. God's word is pure. It opens the eyes of those who read it. It gives light to your eyes. It allows you to see the world around you clearly, so you can avoid obstacles that will destroy you and help you take that next step. People you talk to are confused. They need help. They need light. And God's word is often shown as a light. Finish reading with me verse 9 through 11. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Here's some additional characteristics. God's word is not a fad. It's not something that will go away. It's clean. It will endure forever. It's true and it's righteous altogether. You should desire the Word of God more than sweet delights. And keeping God's Word means great rewards. Now, college ministry needs people who take the truth of God and understand its power. And they apply it to people's lives. But there is something else. You've got to be able not only to take the truth of God and apply it, you've got to be able to love college students however they come. I'm going to tell you about three people today who I've had the ability to talk to, minister with, work with in Cross Impact and Winthrop University in Rock Hill. The first one, as I said, was a guy named John who was a freshman biology student at Winthrop. As a biology student, he was from Virginia. A lot of the students in at Winthrop, because it's a smaller college and because a lot of them are local, they actually live at home. But this guy, since he was from Virginia, lived in the dorms, and he didn't know the area at all, and he had some unsaved friends. And his very first Sunday on campus, he had gotten some unsaved friends together to go to church. Well, he had a girlfriend who went to a college more down this direction, and so they decided they were going to meet halfway to find a church, and he had found a church in the phone book and was going to go there. Well, this was before GPS and before everybody had a cell phone, so if you got lost, you had to actually pull over and ask for directions or call somebody from a payphone. I know that's hard to believe, but that's how it used to be. And this guy was driving with three unsaved guys in the back of his car trying to find this Baptist church. He grew up Southern Baptist, so he was looking for this Baptist church. He had no idea where he was going. And those of you who drive in the South know how you can be driving on one road, and it's going west, and all of a sudden it's going north, and all of a sudden it's going east, and you're like, how would this happen? I haven't taken any turns, and I'm going three different directions. So this guy was confused. He didn't know where he was. He had been driving around for over an hour. He comes across and sees our sign for Harvest Baptist Church. And according to him, he said, well, it's a Baptist church. How bad could they be? So he pulls in because it's almost 11 o'clock. And he comes inside and he introduces us to his friends. And we tried to love on him as much as we could. We started discipling him. He had never been discipled one-on-one. My dad, who was a pastor there, discipled this young man every week, and he grew. Through the study of God's Word, he became grounded. He became excited. His girlfriend broke up with him, which we thought was a good thing. And a family in our church kind of adopted him, and he would go over to their house every week. He stayed there. He believed, and finally he came to the conclusion. He said, you know what, I think God is calling me into ministry. So he went back to Virginia Beach, and he worked in Virginia Beach there with his biology degree after he graduated from Winthrop. And then he came to Bob Jones and got his Master of Divinity degree. And he worked as a GA in the Bob Jones link. And because he had a biology degree, he actually would teach occasionally when the teacher there was unable to be there. He took disciple-making very seriously. He had a heart for college students. He had been on a secular college campus. And he, as a dorm student, as a GA here at Bob Jones, would go to his dorm mates, his friends, on that hall and reveal, would meet them, talk to them, and would ask them about their salvation testimony. And he found people here at Bob Jones, GAs, who did not know Christ. He would witness to them. He would be burdened for them. He would pray for them. And he would share with them the gospel. And they would say, you know, I'm not really interested in that. How that happened, I'm not sure. But the truth is this. There are people who need Christ even here. And so I remember being a student here and thinking, well, everybody around me is saved. Are you so sure? He didn't take anything for granted. He decided he was going to have a heart for college students wherever he was. I really started developing a heart for college ministry during the same time because I got a call one day. My dad called me and told me to go find John at work because John's mom had just been killed in a car wreck. And he didn't know yet. So I had to go over to Link. I went into the office. I said, I need to talk to John. John came out. He was all smiles. I said, can you come outside with me? And we sat there, and I said, you need to call your dad. Your dad has something very important to tell you. And we sat there, and we cried. And that is the kind of stuff that is hard ministry, but it's very important. Those kind of things make a difference. This young man went on to become an intern at our church. He chartered the Cross Impact at Winthrop University that I now serve as a campus pastor. He personally discipled dozens of people. All because someone who was willing to love him, reach out to him, and do a Bible study with him. College ministry is about turning believers into disciples and disciples into disciple makers. I'll tell you about another person named Allison. She was a girl I met when she worked at Winthrop. She had graduated. She was stayed on to work in the IT department. A deacon in our church was her boss, and so he invited her to come. And when she showed up, to our church, she had on jeans, a t-shirt, a nose ring, and plenty of attitude. In fact, I think she took a break between Sunday school and church to smoke a cigarette. And then she told me, when we were friends later, that she used to make people mad by literally blowing cigarette smoke in their face. She was a harsh individual. What is your response when someone like that comes in your church? What's your response to somebody who looks like that, who has that attitude, that anger, that, hey, prove it to me, look. The people in our church surrounded her, to their credit, they surrounded her, and the Lord got a hold of her heart, and quickly, we worked with her, we tried not to focus on all the little things we could have focused on, we tried to focus on her heart, and we got her studying the Word of God, the Word of God, and it transformed her life. It transformed her so much that she became one of the most important members of our Winthrop Cross Impact Ministry. She had this infectious attitude. She did more one-on-one Bible studies with girls than anyone I've ever met. She, one time, this is just a testament to her. One time we were just before an on-campus Bible study setting up things, and she walks out in the student center where we have our Bible study, and she sees this girl reading her Bible. And she says, "Hey, I see you're reading your Bible." And the girl goes, "Yeah, it's for a class." She says, "Oh, you should come to our Bible study. We're studying the Bible." She goes, "Oh, okay." And that girl came to our Bible study for the rest of the year, was in every church service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We had a ministry with that girl. She ended up transferring to another college in Colorado. But because this girl saw people and saw potential for a Christ-serving, Christ-honoring disciple maker, she did the work. She got married last year to a doctor and left our town. Well, she's serving now in a church doing more college ministry because she knows how much an impact the Word of God can have on someone, how it can enlighten their eyes. But listen, it was the power of the Word of God that transformed her from an angry individual, this angry, rebellious, left-wing feminist studies major, to someone who passionately loved Christ and wanted everyone to know Him. There was another young man I met with, and I was able to disciple him. He came up with a good family. He made some very bad choices growing up. You wouldn't know it by looking at him, but by the seventh grade, he had joined a gang. He was drinking, getting into fights. He told me, he said he found this kind of lifestyle exhilarating, very enjoyable. He was intoxicated by the adrenaline. In the ninth grade, he got a felony for stealing golf carts. Now, I thought he would have stolen a little something better than golf carts, but that's what he stole. That's what he had opportunity. And by stealing golf carts, he got thrown in juvenile detention. He realized the only way he could keep up with his habits in high school was to start a business. So he did just that. He started selling drugs. By his own testimony, he started using people for his own gain. He found no love. He had lots of girlfriends, lots of friends, but no real relationships. In college, he was still selling drugs, hanging out with the partying crowd. This snowballed, got worse and worse. He got into trouble every week to the point where the dean asked him not to come back to school. And remember, this is a public school. This is not Bob Jones. The dean sat down with him and said, "You're not allowed to come back." He went home. He started working. Got arrested again. Sent to rehab. And by his testimony, it was in this rehab that this young man found Jesus. Or as he put it, Jesus found him. In his own words, he says, "Jesus found me in my deepest and darkest moments and brought me out." He saw himself as the darkest person he knew. His heart was wicked. But this is a long story that could go much longer. But the truth is this: I got to sit down with him every single week, and we worked one-on-one through basic discipleship material. We worked and we talked about salvation, sanctification, growing and changing, church attendance. And then we got to work through the entire book of Romans together, all 16 chapters. This is what college ministry is all about. This is the privilege of doing college ministry. There's so many of you today who have way more capacity to do college ministry than you even realize. You are well equipped to go and talk to people about Jesus. The biggest excuses people say is, "Well, I couldn't do that. I don't have the temperament." Or, "Look, I don't think they would be interested." Let me tell you something. When you tell somebody, "I would like to do a Bible study with you. Will you talk with me about God?" They're interested. You can, and they will, because by the power of God, you can do what God has called you to do. Cross Impact has been a wonderful ministry of Harvest Baptist Church, and I am very thankful for that ministry. God has used it to change me. He's used it to change our students. And God is still using it, and He will use it across this world. Clemson Cross Impact is doing a fantastic job. There's other Cross Impacts all over the country. I encourage you to look into this. If you at all resonate with the idea that I need to talk to people to let them know Christ, this is the kind of ministry that might touch your heart. I believe very much from God's Word that if you faithfully expose people to the truth of God's Word, it will change their lives. It will dynamically and radically change their lives. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen it in these three individuals. John, I didn't finish telling the story there, but John, this individual, is now serving as a pastor in the Midwest, doing another Cross Impact ministry. This girl who I talked about who was a disciple maker, you know what she's doing? She's in Virginia, I think it is, or no, North Carolina, working in a college ministry setting. The Word of God is powerful. The Word will be the power. It will not be in your personality. It will not be in your program. It will be in the Word of God. And my challenge to you tonight, or today, is go out and do the work of the ministry. You can do it. They will do it. So I say, let's go and let's do it. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've spent together. I pray that you would encourage each one of these students here today, that they would be filled with your Spirit and your power. As they go forward, I pray that they would have the might to speak, the boldness to say what they need to say, and that your truth would be powerful in their mouths. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry among secular college campuses of people who are desperately searching for truth. I pray that we would be put in the position where we could speak truth into their lives. We know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.